Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our final Thursday evening of this year, 2025. And as we enter these final days of the year, it's a time for reflection, for remembering, or looking ahead, all of these different aspects that come with it. And even though the year is approaching its darkest day, which I believe is Sunday, I think, is the winter solstice. The holidays that we celebrate at this time of year, regardless of the traditions, revolve around light. And the pagans, the pre-Christians, and the pre-Judaism peoples, had bonfires and celebrated bringing light. It was a way of, expressing gratitude for the sun and the light, and a way of inviting it to return. Because after the 21st of December, the days start growing longer again. So now we're in the phase where they're growing shorter, and then Monday they will start growing longer again. So that's one aspect of this time of year, and all of the celebrations, the acknowledgments that happen at this time of year. Of course, there's very for each of the spiritual traditions, there's very specific reasons for celebrating. In Zen Buddhism, we recently celebrated the Buddha's awakening, which is also about light. Of course, the Christians, it's Christmas. The Jews, Hanukkah, where they light a candle, they light the candles every night. That's one aspect of this time of year. And then another of the aspects, especially in the Christian and Jewish traditions, is giving. There's a lot of gift exchange, and also celebrating with food, so giving kinds, preparing and sharing food of different sorts. And what's interesting is that so all of us on this screen are from different cultures. Of course, there's a few Portuguese, but the rest of us are kind of a mixed bag. And each of these nations or peoples have their traditions and their food. It's different food everywhere you go. And I was thinking about that, and in the book, The Hidden Lamp, which is a collection of koans that involve women, and with commentary by women, contemporary, their ancient, traditional koans in which women figure, and then all of the commentary is by contemporary women teachers, whether Tibetan, Zen, Theravadin, different traditions. So one of those koans, I can't remember which number it is or even what the whole koan is, but the master, and I'm not sure if it's a woman who says this. It might be like a woman master. And in any case, there's the master is speaking to a woman. And the thing is, the Dharma does not rise up alone. It can't emerge without reliance on the world and everything in the world in that particular time and place. In fact, it is all of those things, but then the expression of it is completely dependent on the time, the place, the people, the land, and that's the way that we celebrate, at least in the Christian tradition, Christmas. Everyone has different food. In the Jewish tradition, there are traditional things that you eat for Hanukkah, very specific things that are eaten and prepared, but each family prepares them in their way. And there's a ritual about, how to do it, and that's part of the celebration. But each family will do it in their own way. And even the Jewish tradition, even because the synagogues were destroyed in ancient times, the whole religion said the home is this temple, right? The temples were destroyed, and so people couldn't come together and celebrate in temples. So the home became the temple. And so every home is different. And of course, then the Dharma in the Jewish tradition does not rise up alone either. It's dependent on the people there, the home, the table, the room, the ages of the people, the food that they have available, the same for us. So, I don't even know what the traditional food is you eat in Portugal or Poland or Holland for Christmas, but I know that it's very specific, and then of course it varies according to family. At least in the United States, it does. Every family has their thing that they eat and the way that they prepare it and whatever. In any case, I was thinking about that in terms of the Dharma does not rise up alone. And this master in this koan says, if I, accept the challenge to speak, I have to borrow the light, the dark, the form and the emptiness of the mountains and the chairs and the room and the hills and the great earth. You have to borrow all of that. The cars in the street, the calls of the birds, my cat who was here during the sitting, the water flows and the flowers blossom, and that's so much what our Sangha is about, the wildflowers. And all of that is preaching the Dharma. And if I speak, I am of the voice of all of that. And sometimes it's helpful when I am called to speak and accept that challenge to remember that everything is speaking. It's not just me. And there's that line that I love in the Jesus Christ Superstar film, ooh, where he's coming, he arrives on Palm Sunday in Jerusalem, and the soldiers are there and they're watching him and they're following him around. And he confronts them and he says, "You can silence me, but the rocks and the trees will continue speaking." And that's so much of what our practice is. It's all speaking. And we're all speaking together in that sense. And this season is a really good time to remember that, among all of the stuff that we're involved in, this thing of giving. Is actually a beautiful practice of giving. It's the first of the 10 paramitas, dana. The dana paramita is gift or generosity. It's the heart of the bodhisattva path that we walk on is generosity. And this season where we give all kinds of gifts, we sometimes forget that, that we might feel an obligation to give a gift, or we might want to give some absolutely fabulous gift, or we don't have much money, and so we feel bad that we can't really give anything important because we equate the importance with the value, the monetary value. Whereas actually, the greatest gift is the act of giving itself. That's the greatest gift. And if we do that wholeheartedly, if we give wholeheartedly of ourself, we give wholeheartedly of the flowers and the moon and the stars and the water and the plants and the cat and the birds. If we give ourselves wholeheartedly, nothing is held back. That's the ultimate generosity. We give ourselves to life, meeting whatever is there, right? And sometimes we don't like what the moment is calling us to offer. It can be offering understanding to someone who is suffering. It can be meeting friends. I met two old friends for lunch today, and it was wonderful to just, in my busy schedule, to just give myself completely to that 2 hours to meet them for lunch and not think about, okay, I have this meeting at that time, and then I have to prepare a Dharma talk, and then I have to give a Dharma talk, and then I have to do that. It's like, if I'm caught up in that, I'm holding back. I'm not giving myself completely to that moment of having lunch with these two old dear friends. And giving is a great, as we know, it's a remedy for clinging and greed. That it's the antidote to the poison of greed. Giving is the remedy to that. So we can give knowing that, okay, I don't want to be clinging, so I'm going to give because that will help me let go. We can also, when we absolutely see the truth of no self, nothing here. We were talking about the five remembrances at the in Coimbra at the retreat. That our only belongings are our actions, because everything that we hold dear and all the people who we love are going to change. And we will be separated from them. We can't avoid being separated. And so we can, and the one that we hang on to the most is this identity of ours, right? This I. And if we can see through that, see through the solidity of this idea of me, and really acknowledge, experience the impermanence. And we have occasions every single moment to experience impermanence, because the moment is changing all the time. All of the, everything that the Dharma is arising from is changing, even as the Dharma is arising, right? So even as the words are being spoken, they're falling away and they're gone. Even as I take an in-breath and I breathe out, it's gone. It's gone. Every moment is impermanent. We have this opportunity every moment. And so when we really truly experience that, that giving leads to this just wholehearted generosity. There's nothing that can be held. The realization that nothing can be held, well, then that helps us cultivate this wealth of generosity that is bottomless, that's a gift we can give anytime, any place, and forever. Generosity. We don't need any special circumstances for it. It's like the Dharma arises from whatever is. Generosity too. Any place, any time. Even when we think we have nothing to give. But if we really see that there is nothing to hang on to, nothing to be held, then we see that the question of nothing to give is completely irrelevant, because we have everything and we can share everything at every moment. Of course, all of us on the screen, we have a warm home, we have food, we have friends and family around us. We can think, well, then it's easier for us to be generous and give. But even people who, some of the greatest mystics, for example, and their vows of poverty, you think of Mother Teresa or Saint Francis or someone like that, these amazing mystics who had nothing, absolutely nothing, and they gave everything. If you can truly see that you have nothing, then you have everything. It sounds like a paradox, but as we know, Zen is one big paradox. Full and empty. Form and non-form. The great paradox. How can it be form and non-form? How can it be full and empty? And like that expression of Alan Watts, paradox is just a truth standing on its head to get your attention. Or, acting up to get your attention. There's truth in paradox. Absolute. Doesn't make any sense, which makes it almost all the more true because it doesn't make sense, something like that. I also saw someone who said recently that this period between before the new year, as we start entering the dark days and start turning towards festival and sharing and then celebrating the new year is like the bardo, Tibetan bardo, which is, or Christian limbo, something like that. It's between, it's this between moment. And it's dark. These are dark days, right? Very dark, literally darkness. So, what does that mean then? How do we experience being in this bardo? We have total faith that we will come out the other end, right? Although, maybe that's kind of silly because we don't know actually, because we might die, or who knows, the sun might burn out. We know it won't, but we don't know, but we have this faith. Without even thinking about it, we have this faith that we will wake up tomorrow, or that we will, it will be April again, or even March when, the days start growing longer again, or visibly longer, because, like I said, December 22nd, it will be longer than December 21st. So, and when we look around us and we see this, just in the past few days, there have been s this series of events, terribly violent and tragic events, with killings, right? All of those people and their families, and all of the people that were affected by that, and that includes us because we know we're all connected. None of us expected any of those people to die or be hurt, even if we don't even know who they are. We were not thinking there will be people who die on a beach in Australia. Because someone is shooting at them, or there will be students at a university in America, or there will be this, amazing celebrated actor and his wife who will die in their home. Two, like three very different events, and yet the connection is that impermanence, impermanence, and of course the three poisons, of greed and anger and ignorance, because we wouldn't kill if we weren't attached to those. If we didn't see the true nature, if we saw the true nature of us and other, we would not do that. We would not kill. That's the very bottom line of it. And So the and at the same time, what we say about karma and the consequences of our actions, we can't say that we are directly involved with any of those events. Just like we're not directly involved in any, happy, blissful, beautiful event. I just focused on these three tragic events, but and yet we are connected because we're connected with the people, everyone, everywhere. We're all one. So there is an element of us there. The Dharma doesn't rise up alone. It's all together. And even though, we have time differences, right? So it's a different time in Lisbon right now than it is in Paris. And yet we're all here. It doesn't matter what the clock says. And the same thing about, okay, there were people on a beach in Sydney, and then I was in my bed at that time. Well, okay, but we're all here in this moment. And when we can see that, when we have that realization, then the wealth of generosity is fully active. And the depth of compassion is also, fully active. I considered, it's the last night of the year. Let's just have a circle, or let's just have some sharing or something. I don't need to give a talk. But I knew that was just not really appropriate, If I had done that, it would have been appropriate, but I didn't, so it wasn't appropriate. And because, I'm the this moment and the Sangha and all of us, we the Dharma arises up from that, So had we had a circle, that would have been the Dharma. Sitting here, you're in silence and I'm talking, that's Dharma. My cat sleeping now on the chair, that's the Dharma. Whatever's happening in your individual lives, wherever you were before you came here, some people arrived late. There were only a couple of us online at the beginning. That's the Dharma too. It's all Dharma. And even the word Dharma is just superfluous. It is. And even is just, it's it. It. And when we open our hearts to that, then nothing is held back. Everything is shared. The gift of giving itself just is given, something like that. So I think I will stop there and allow you to share and to offer to give your gifts as well. Whether it's comments, questions, silence, whatever it is. This is the last chance of the year that you have to do this, right? So. Richard.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I'm a bit overwhelmed with my day, but I wanted to share that we eat. I know. I think Amy Roche, you know this. We eat bacalhau.
Right, I forgot that, yeah.
Yeah, several ways of doing it. I wish you all a great season, good holidays with yours and yourself, and a bit of I just love the image that Amy Roche sold. I don't know much about Hanukkah, but lighting a candle every day. I want to just see when I'm with my sister and all the girls, let us do a bit of this. It's warm and light. So I've stayed with this, and I wish you all lots of warm, lots of light, and a happy new year. Déjà, thank you.
Thank you, Krisha. And even though in Portugal it's traditional to eat bacalhau, apparently, like every family does it differently, and there's thousands of recipes for it, no? Or something like that?
Thousands. I don't know in English the name, but we do it on the oven with just olive oil, which it's my preferred. But a lot of people like it boiled. I think it's more, even more traditional. And there is composed, like with some kind of bread crumbles, with cream. There's a lot of ways of doing bacalhau. Oh, always dried, never freshed.
I think it's codfish.
Yeah, it's codfish in
Yeah.
English. Debbie.
When I was a teenager and in a heavy religious moment in my life, Christian religious, we lived not far from Jerusalem. And Christmas, it was the same for Easter. You were talking about food, and this was going through my mind. There was even in my neighborhood, there were no Jewish people in Jordan, but there were Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, Catholic Christians, Protestants, and the food started around the 6th of December is Saint Nicholas Day, and went all the way to the 6th of January because the Greek Orthodox came with the whole business about Epiphany on the 6th of January. And it's funny because my mother was not at all, my parents had a bakery, and I think it kind of just, my mother decided after the end of the bakery, that's all the baking I'm doing. So she didn't do much baking over Christmas. But we had people coming through the house with food for a whole month. And it was always, the Greeks did this thing, I don't know, maybe that was Easter. It was a bread thing no, that was Easter, with an egg, with a boiled egg in the middle of it. It was the stuff, the food was interesting. It was super tasty, and it was all different traditions. It was when you were talking about Christmas food, I was remembering how wonderful that was to have everybody's offerings of the food of their culture. And lovely Krisha, what a nice thing to do. Yes, have a wonderful season, and I hope everything goes well and happy for you until the next time we get together.
Thank you, Amy, for reminding me of this simple thing of just giving. Because for me, the Christmas is a bit annoying. I don't know. It's not the Christmas, it's this merchandise thing of presents and having to. So I just forget the thing, and the last day I think about it. But sometimes in some years I connect with that, what you are, Amy was saying about how opening our just opening our hearts, and even when we think we don't have nothing to do, if we realize that if we open our hearts, we see that just it's that it just give some. It's not something. It just give. Yeah, it's and in that moment, the Dharma rise up. Yeah, thank you for your generosity. Yeah.
Well, and it's so true that the, you know, this whole consumer merchandising culture has, you know, is so powerful over at this time of year. And this tea that I made just before I sat down, it's one of these yogi tea things that has a saying on it, you know. And on it, it says, I'll read it in French and then I'll translate it. Nous accordons plus d'attention au commérage qu'aux évangiles. So it means, you know, we pay more attention to gossip than we do to the gospel. And the gospel doesn't have to be, you know, doesn't have to be Christian, but that, you know, in all this frenzy of consuming, we pay more attention to that than to just, like you say, Miguel, just to the giving, you know. It, you know, it's the story of our culture. It's not just in us individually here, but that's, yeah, sad. Claudia.
Yeah, hello everybody. I know, Amy, I was seeing you drinking the tea, and I was like, I would like to know so much what is writing on the little. I was thinking of that, so thank you very much for that. No, I just remind it's something came back when you said that. Something really funny happened to me on Tuesday night. I was with Lisa at our dance class, and there was like this little special night that so there was like everybody was dancing with everybody that night, and we had a number when we arrived. Someone gave her a number, so you were supposed to so you, everybody had a little present to give to someone, and so you had a number, so you had to look for the number. You know, I had a number, and the person, how can I explain that? Anyway, someone knew he had to give me a present to me. So he went, okay, and you had to look for that person all night, and once you find the number, you had to be nice with that person. And after, at the end of the night, to give that person a present. And that was very funny because I had my number, and all night I was like, oh, I'm so sad because I could see people, they were like giving each other presents, but me, like nobody was finding me, you know, like I was like, oh my God, the person who was supposed to give me a present, she left, I'm going to be just the only one to not have any gift. That was so funny. And all night I was like that, like so sad because of course I was not going to receive a present. Of course that people she had left. And at the end of the night, it's true, someone was very nice with me during all night, but I thought I was normal. But she said, oh, I'm good. So she gave me a present, and I discovered that all night she had been very nice with me, but I didn't see it. I was so much caught in my thing that, oh my God, nobody's going to give me a present and blah, 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 and blah, 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 that I just missed the whole thing about it. She invited, she's a super dancer, and she invited me to dance all night. And I was like, wow, maybe because I'm, you know, okay, so you understood. So I just missed everything that night, and amazing. Okay.
And the funny thing is, I understood it the other way around. I thought that, yeah, I only so I did it the wrong way. Instead of, I thought I was supposed to find the person who was going to give me the present and not the person I was having to give the present to. I got it wrong, but then I rectified. Anyway, that was funny. But yeah, I was just thinking that my mother always used to. She usually lights the Hanukkah candles, and this year it's very close to Christmas. Usually, so often, I mean, it's like it changes every year, but it's usually more closer to the beginning of December, and so I have to go to. We said I would, we would meet at her place to. At least once light the candles together. And I remember half of the prayer. I can never remember it all, but yeah, we chant the prayer, and I mean, not at all religious, but it's just that's what we that was what she was brought up with. And we did so we did Hanukkah and Christmas at home both. And I got presents for Hanukkah and I got presents for Christmas. Tiny things. I mean, Hanukkah, usually you're supposed to get a present every day you light a candle. So it's tiny things. Yeah. And yeah, and it's good to remember the, as Miguel was saying, that giving is, yeah, just as you were saying, it's you can give anything. And just being there, really there, is just an amazing present. Yeah, so it doesn't feel, I don't feel at all like it's Christmas. It's been just too much going on. And we're, but yeah. I did, the spirit will catch up at some point. But Krisha, they're sitting every day during the whole holiday period, if you want, in the morning. Sitting will continue, and Susanna is will be during midnight sitting also. We have to send that email.
On New Year's Eve, not
On
every
New Year's
night.
Eve. I say Christmas on New Year's Eve, yeah. From the 31st for to the 1st. So if ever anyone's not doing anything, that's a, an opportunity, an option also. So offering sitting.
Very, very happy to be able to be with you and to see you all, and some of you in Portugal, some of you in France. I don't know, maybe in some other places. And if, to those of you who don't know me, I'm in Warsaw, so we cover today the whole Europe. And I realize it's not that often that I have the opportunity to see you, and perhaps because of it I feel especially grateful for this moment. Another year has passed, and it's great to see that all of us is still keep sitting zazen, practicing, and that we are, more or less okay. And was apart from the Sangha members, I was happy to see for a brief moment a cat at Amiroshi's, black and white beauty. Not sure if it's he cat or she cat, but beauty it is. And So, I don't really have too much to say, and don't want to take too much time, so I will leave the floor for to the next person. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Everyone is saying their hearts, and it's beautiful. So it's
Oh, if I may add something else about the food for the for this season. So what I remember from my childhood, my most favorite was the cake with a poppy seed. Even more traditional, I guess, it's to make a pop to mix poppy seed with wheat. So there is something more traditional than cake, but cake is also great, I can assure you.
great. Yeah.
Good evening, everybody. Listening to you speaking about traditions for this period of the year, I realized that in my family, we had a very special tradition. I'm from Holland, but my family is German and part English. So our Christmas was a mix, and it was not at all Dutch, because when I was a child in Holland, they did not, Christmas was not with presents, and you went to mass and then you came home. The next day there was maybe a present, but it was more a religious holiday. But in our family, we had a real Christmas tree with real candles. And the tradition was that the tree was put up in the living room, and we were not allowed to see it. So it was a surprise. And then on Christmas Eve, my father and my grandfather would go in and light the candles. The children, we and other people were waiting outside, and then when they were all lit, the door would open and we would go in all together, and there was music, Silent Night or something like that, and we were all holding hands, looking at the tree. And of course the children were waiting because there were presents under the tree, but we were supposed to stay. And my great grandmother was a Scottish lady. And she was very stiff upper lip, very English, and very like this, even when she was very old, always. And we had a lot of respect for her. So that's my memory for our tradition. And I passed it on to my daughter. And also for my grandchildren, we did that. I hid the tree behind the curtain. And, when we would come in for the 24th, I would open the curtain and the candles would be lit and so on. And it's, yeah, it was magic. And I can't remember what we ate because it was not important, I think. So I wish everybody a very good period for this end of the year, which is in fact only continuity. And we'll see you in the morning sometime.
Good evening, everybody. It's incredible because when Emirati start talking about these different cultures, I remember something, and I haven't been remembering years. I don't know, because I was born in Mozambique, so my first 16 Christmas were there, and suddenly I had this glimpse of what I really cherish in Christmas, it was apples because apples were not there. And someone gave us apples from, they were brought from an airplane. I don't know whom. I would like to remember because mostly I was a child. But there were always apples in the table at this period. And it was, wow, so wonderful for me to have apples just in this table for once a year. I don't even remember what we ate. Now I know what we had here. There, I don't know. Maybe it was codfish too. And this year it will be very different for me, and because usually I only have one daughter, and she is the one who decided where she stays for the evening of the night, 24, or if she comes to me and my mother here the 25. So we mother and I don't even have we don't care. We just be together, the two of us. We used to be three when my cousin lived here, but now we are two, so whatever. If you appear, say when. I don't choose when do I celebrate the Christmas. But this year, Joana is working the 24 in Lisbon. So she asked us, me and mother, to go and spend the evening there. So suddenly, the two of us that were very quiet at this period, we don't even care. Well, nothing will be happening. We will be sitting at the fireplace and having our cod fish in very good olive oil. But this evening, we have to prepare things and bring things there. And Joanna is keeping asking because we never did Christmas in Lisbon. Asking, and bring the cat too, so and bring this, please, because she misses. Maybe for her, it's really a great period to celebrate. So, well, I have those mi mixed feelings about generosity and impermanence, and finally, something is happening in the 24th of December, and yeah, it's what I have to say. I hope it will be great for you too. Thank you.
How beautiful, huh? It's just all of the Dharma rising up, from all these different circumstances and people and places and things and food and wow. Yeah. Debbie.
Yeah, I wanted to say something about that came up when Miguel was talking about how annoying the present thing is and all of that. I often went to where my parents were living from France or from somewhere else at Christmas time, and my father would catch me on the 24th and say, "What are we getting your mother?" Which was, I always felt, was a little bit, we're really up against the gate there. And I was laughing about this with a friend of mine. He had zero idea. It was very hard to find out what anybody wanted in my family. And my father just couldn't do it. He just couldn't come up with anything. One year, he offered his present to my mother was the rubber rugs that you put on the floor of your car. It's like, you just, get her a ring or I don't know, a necklace or something, Gordon. And don't get her windshield wipers for crying out loud. Yeah, I mean, it's just, and the whole family was a little bit up in the air about what to get anybody. But that was the year she got rubber carpeting for her car.
Did she appreciate it? Was she happy with it? Maybe that's really what she wanted. I don't know.
Well, it was very useful. I think by then, my parents were got hooked up when they were 17 years old. She pretty much knew that it was going to be, there would be a decent present from her kids and then some weird thing from my father.
Yeah. All of the stuff we do, huh? When Claudia and Lisa were talking about the dance thing and finding the person and all of that, I was once at a retreat with Bernie Glassman in New York, and there were, at the last night there was singing, and Krishna Das, the guy, Krishna Das, this great performer, was performing, and there was all this stuff going on. And then as the night was ending, Bernie said, "Okay, so a couple hundred people in this room, right?" And he said, "Okay, so turn around and or look around and go to the person who is at the farthest point, the other side of the room from you, and greet them before you leave, right? So, but the thing is, you have to greet all the people that you meet as you go along to get to that person on the other side of the room." Well, I don't think I ever got to the person on the other side of the room for me, because it was just, opening to each person, giving your presence and your heart to that whoever was standing there in front of you. It was a really beautiful practice. And like Claudia's story of not, looking at for someone else, right? And not even realizing that that person was giving themselves to her, or Lisa not understanding. I'm not even clear on what the story was, what you were supposed to do, but it doesn't matter. It's really pretty simple, actually, if we let go. So, on that note, maybe we can end here. And as others have wished, I wish everyone a fine moment as the year comes to an end and the dark settles in, and then as the light returns.
Amy, we are not getting together on Saturday.
Yes,
This is
we
the
are.
last
Yeah.
event.
After we finish the recording, I'll go over what the
Okay.
schedule is.
Okay.
Thank you.